Five times the Holy Spirit has inspired children of God around the birth of Jesus Christ to sing joy to the world. And we have those five recorded, not all in the song Elizabeth. It really isn't a song, but it is certainly a worthy piece of doxology that she has given us. So our text this morning we'll find in Luke chapter 1, and particularly let's read verse 41 through 45. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped into her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation or thy greeting sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Children, imagine the setting where Mary is in Nazareth. We read and Gabriel came to visit her. Suddenly, no announcement ahead of time, but in her work. And the angel, as we read, revealed to her, told her that you are going to be the mother of the Messiah. I could imagine, children, that Mary sits there for a long time after the angel is gone, stunned. Me? You notice when the angel said, thou art the most favored, highly favored, that's how he greeted her in verse 28, thou art highly favored. And Mary is troubled, not by what she saw, but she's troubled by what she heard. Me, highly favored? Me? She's troubled about that. And now she sits alone in her whatever room, wherever the angel met her. Thoughts are just. She has a big secret. And what do you want to do when you have a big secret? A joyful secret in this case. Not a bad secret, but a good secret. What do you want to do? You want to share it. You want to share that with someone. And Mary has no one to share it with. No one is going to believe her story. She doesn't share it with Joseph. We know that later on Joseph heard it from the angel in a dream. But she couldn't share it with him because, yes, though they were engaged in the Jewish days, they didn't meet each other before they were married. They only met each other on the engagement day, but not between the engagement day and the marriage day. So she couldn't run off to Joseph and tell him. Though dating didn't exist in those days as we know today. She couldn't go talk to her parents. Would they believe her? There's a lot going on in Mary's mind. Others, who knows, they would scorn her. You? Who do you think you are? So finally, or not finally, but it seems like God has anticipated her thoughts and her dilemma. In verse 36, the angel said to her, Behold, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her 6 months already. So it seems that Gabriel anticipated Mary and suggested to her with that, maybe you should go to Elizabeth. And that's what she does. She travels all the way from Nazareth, all the way to the country of Judea. That's a journey of about 150 kilometers. So just walking all the way from Featherston to Palmerston North. Then you're not even having the distance, but let's say that's about it. Mary had to walk that. So if I just my estimation, she walked 6-7 hours a day, and it would have taken her about 4 or 5 days. That she's walking by herself with this secret. no one to share it with. Satan knows it. So there's a lot going on in the mind. Maybe she begins to wonder, was this really true? Really, am I it? Maybe Satan is suggesting all kinds of things and she longs to come to Elizabeth's house and finally she comes there. And congregation, what can we learn from Mary here? Something very special. She sought fellowship. She sought to talk with someone who she could speak to. It's so important that we do that too. We need to talk together more about the things that are on our heart and mind. J.C. Ryle says, happiness shared doubles itself. He says, as grief grows greater by hiding, so joy grows greater by sharing. When God tells you something, share it. Go tell someone else about it. Go do like Mary and find someone to fellowship with so that you can share it. And you know, that sharing time is also a means of grace. You may become the very means God is using to encourage a saint who is discouraged or to kindle in someone a desire to know what God has made known to you. Let's learn from Mary. Let's seek fellowship. Finally, she arrives. What a surprise when all of a sudden she walked into the house. It says in verse 40, she entered the house of Zacharias and she greeted Elizabeth. He wasn't expecting. There was no text message ahead of time, was there? So here I am. No preparation. But even more surprising is what happens. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped, made a sudden movement. Now, I know most mothers will tell you that by 6 months you feel a lot of movement of the baby. So this must have been an unusual leap. She felt that. She felt that. And all of a sudden, she is filled herself with the Holy Ghost. You know, you look in verse 44, it says, as soon as the voice of thy greeting sounded into my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The Greek language says, exuberant joy. This babe in her womb is filled with joy when he recognizes, obviously, how does she recognize his children? How does this little 6 month baby that is in the womb still recognize? Well, if you have your Bibles open, you turn back to verse 15 of this chapter, then you'll know why. It says when the Gabriel is visit Zechariah, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So this John the Baptist, still is a baby in mommy's tummy, is already filled with the Holy Ghost. And he directs John to preach his first sermon before he's even born. Joy to the world for this child that he recognizes there, just barely conceived. That's only maybe 5 days ago. John rejoiced in the Messiah's coming. Now we are going to focus now our thoughts this morning on what Elizabeth says at this occasion. Now it is noteworthy that Elizabeth speaks before Mary informs her. Yeah, you must notice that, right? She didn't hear Mary's story, and then she begins to speak. No, it says she spake with a loud voice, and she says these things. And how is that? We notice in verse 41, because she also is filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth has a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit on her. And that, of course, not just the ordinary work of salvation. That is a special gift. Imagine how strengthening these words of Elizabeth must have been for Mary. All the doubts and all her fears and everything that she's been struggling with it's confirmed. It's confirmed by Elizabeth. Now let's focus on Elizabeth's thoughts this morning. I call it Elizabeth's exaltation. And she does three things. She praises God for his grace. Let's look at that first in verse 42. Blessed art thou among women. Secondly, she blesses God's Christ. Blessed is the fruit of the womb. And thirdly, she declares God's promise. Blessed is she that believed. Now you notice that my three points are not all the same. That the first two are praising and the third one is declaring. And that's because in the Greek there are two different words. In verse 42, blessed twice is praise. It's exaltation. In verse 45, it's a different Greek word, the word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the word he uses there. So it's not just an exaltation, but here Elizabeth, by the Spirit, declares the word of God in a very beautiful promise to Mary. So let's look at those three statements of Elizabeth. Elizabeth begins with praising God's grace. Blessed art thou among the women. If you go back to verse 28, and the angels came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The word highly favored is grace. You find it also again in verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Mary is the first one in the New Testament to whom the word grace is connected. Noah is the first one in the Old Testament to whom the word grace is connected. Not that there were no other ones that had grace. But the New Testament word grace that we find so often is here connected to Mary. What a refreshing shower this was to Mary. Blessed art thou among women. This is the echo of what the angel just said to her. She has very low thoughts of herself. Mary is just a little in her own eyes. You notice that in the song, Lord, thou hast regarded the low estate of this handmaid. You notice that in her reaction, as she's troubled at what the angel said. She is such a gracious woman. And grace reveals itself that you begin to think really little of yourself. God gets bigger, and you get smaller. And you see that in this gift of God's grace in Mary. You notice that Elizabeth did not glorify Mary. She didn't glorify Mary. She glorified the grace of God in Mary. She praises God for the special grace that she has been given. And she has been specially graced, sovereignly. No other woman has received the blessing that Mary has received. It's already a huge gift to be able to bear a child. Some of us know those among us that don't have that gift. But now to be the mother of the Messiah. I mean, that is amazing. And what a gracious gift to be favored to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. And it never made Mary proud. She still knows she is low and she needs a Savior. Notice in verse 47 of this chapter, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She needs this Savior as much as you need. She's also unclean. She's also guilty. She's also unworthy. The only reason that she received this privilege of sovereign grace. Now, friends, that's a message to us. Elizabeth's exaltation is a message to us that God is a God of grace. Yeah, that's what he's telling us this morning. In coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is telling the whole world, I'm a God of grace. No one of us deserves grace. But God says, I am moved to show my grace, to show my grace to sinners. Just as he focused that special grace on Mary, his illustration of the whole of the glory of God's graciousness. He's moved in himself. In chapter 1, verse 78, we hear Zechariah singing, who says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. He is moved with tenderness, tender compassion. God is a God of tender compassion. And so we don't need to move him. He is moved of himself. He is a God that is compassionate in himself. We do not need to make ourselves worthy. Mary, thou art highly favored, not because you're a beautiful, special, singular, great woman. No, it is sovereignly given to you. Nothing to do. God, out of this whole mankind, chose Mary sovereignly. Nothing to do with Mary. She's not on a pedestal. And therefore received it. And that is a message to us. God is gracious. And grace, dear congregation, is the only level on which God meets with unworthy sinners. Hebrews chapter 4 has this beautiful passage about, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need. For we have in the great heaven and high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so we may become boldly. You know, Jesus is moved with grace. And his Father is moved with grace. If you say, I have messed up so much in my life. There is so much against me. There's so much wrong in me. The more you look at that, the more discouraged you get, right? But now lift up your mind with these words of Elizabeth. Blessed are you among the women, because grace has been given to you. And that grace is a message to you. That no matter how far you've fallen, God is gracious and good and favors sinners freely. He doesn't handle sinners that come to him roughly, but gently. He doesn't hold you at arm's length and say, well, stay away from me a little bit. No, he took them in his arms and takes them to his heart and makes them by his ministry of love what we cannot make ourselves to be. So let's sing together. Psalter 115, verse 4. Just verse 4, as David, in spokesman, speaks about maybe discouragement too, and he speaks to himself, why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? Hope thou in God. Let's sing verse 4. We'll stand together. Psalter 115. Blessed art thou among women. And then her second exaltation directs it to the child. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Don't you all remember that Mary didn't announce her coming? Mary didn't share the good secret with anyone. She knocked on the door and she walked in and Elizabeth looked at her and all of a sudden the Spirit of God fills her and you can see nothing on Mary. You can't see she's pregnant. You could see that on Elizabeth. 6 months, you could see that. But 5 days, you can't see that. And all of a sudden Elizabeth proclaims and praises. Remember the word blessed, praised, exalted is the fruit of thy womb. She worships God in an amazing statement of truth. For she adds, for whence it is that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Just ponder about that statement. The mother of my Lord, which is the fruit of your womb. I do not know how far and deep Elizabeth was led, but this is deep. When she says, the mother of my Lord, of my ruler. Yeah, we have the full revelation of the New Testament to understand this mystery of God manifest in the flesh. Of the Word, the eternal Word, become flesh. But here Elizabeth already, by the Spirit, is saying something about that. And she exalts the child of Mary. Do you? Do you ever sink down at God's feet and exalt Him? Praises Him for the child of Bethlehem. And say to Him, Lord, blessed is the fruit that Thou conceived in the womb of Mary and brought into this world. Worthy of all praise. This is God's gift, not in things, but in a person so divinely glorified. God-man, He has come into this world and Elizabeth is praising Him and exalting Him. And congregation, what a moment of worship that would be if we may join her this morning and lift up all our heart and bless God for the hope and for the promise that has come in the child that has been born in Bethlehem. Everything about this child is glorious and mysterious. He is the mother. She is the mother of my Lord. So He is Lord, and yet He is a tiny little infant. He is human, and yet He is God's Son, and in the fullness of it. He is a real creature, and yet He is the Creator. Blessed, O Lord, is this fruit of thy womb so mysterious, for none of us can understand the incarnation. I've said it before, the resurrection is not quite as mysterious as the incarnation. It is the most unfathomable. God became man. Who can understand? And yet it's the cornerstone of the gospel. That Jesus became man in order to meet the needs that we men are owing to God. And yet He is God, so He can meet and also stand, as it were, for the demands of God and carry both. This is the child that God in His wisdom has brought forth. is able to save to the uttermost. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In this child, God can embrace you. God is holy. He's a consuming fire. We can't get close to him. We will not stand in his presence. There'll be no fellowship between a holy God and an unholy sinner. Except in this child. He stands between sinful man and holy God. And therefore, we are to praise God for the fruit of the womb. In this child, God has provided the door for us to return to him. But before that, he provided in Christ the door for him to come to us. Let's not forget, the door goes both ways. God could not come to you and me unless he designed a way by which he could dwell among us, in which he could have communion with us. And he did that in his Son. And now that same Son is for us the access, the door to God. Are you sitting here this morning? And is the reality of this breach between you and God staring in your face? I have sinned against God. I cannot pay. I cannot restore this. I cannot. I have nothing to give him. All that comes out of me is not only limited, it's also unclean. Listen to Elizabeth. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. It's just God's answer. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that's the gift in this child. And therefore fear not to draw near to God through this door. You cannot draw near to God without this door. This week I was working on the tabernacle, and remember, children, there's a big white fence around this tabernacle, 2.5 feet tall, really tall. So telling us, no access. White is the holiness of God. It's the law of God. And God is surrounding himself with this white fence. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And as you walk around that tabernacle, you find one gate. It's a huge gate, 10 meters wide gate. It's the only one. That's the only one we may use to come inside. Imagine someone's climbing over the back fence or the side fence. He'll be dead. And so the only way that we can draw near to God, this Holy One who lives in the Holy of Holies, is through the door. This child is the door. This child is God's gift to us by which we may come to him. And we need not to fear to come to him through this door. All that the Father has given me shall come, and all that come unto me I will in no wise cast off. We are so creative in thinking of reasons why he would cast us off, right? We could think of hundreds of reasons why he would keep us at arm's length and not allow us to come near to him. And why wouldn't he? Well, don't think about God as you think about yourself. Think about him in the revelation of the child. He's ready to take you as you are. He never says, I'll take you only if you are good enough, if you're sorrowful enough, if you feel bad enough. I will only take you if you earned my notice with how good you are. That's not the gospel. This child came, and this message comes to us. For God so loved the world. You know, if God is stripping you, and if God is making you see your sins, and if God is opening your eyes more and more to see what wrong there is, then remember, that is never to scare you away from Him. That is only to convince you you need Him. That's why. So don't let your feelings of sin and guilt and wrong and whatever keep you away from Him. He came to save sinners. So have you ever joined Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias and Simeon? And we praise God for His salvation. Let's sing once more. Psalter 450, the second verse. That's Simeon praising God for the gift of Jesus Christ. So let's sing the second verse and let's stand again. Thou didst for all prepare this gift so great, so rare. Now let's look briefly at the last verse of 45, and blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told from the Lord. You know, when you look at verse 38, you see Mary's faith. Mary said, after the angel had answered her questions, and after the announcement she's made, Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary believed. Even though it's going to be painful for her, even though it's going to be, for her earthly, not an easy journey. To be found pregnant while you're not married, that's a stigma. It's never left her. Yeah, the insiders knew her story, but the outsiders didn't. They made their conclusions. And it never was rumored out of the world. Mary always had that. And she understood that when she stood there with the angel, you're going to be with child through the mysterious overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. Who would believe that? Even Joseph was ready to end the engagement. And so her faith is amazing, but her faith needs strengthening. As she begins to think about these 5-6 days of journey, she's thinking of all the implications of what this is going to mean for her and for Joseph and for her family, father, mother, because it's a family thing in those days. And you know that in those communities, when a daughter would do something immoral. There'll be honor killings involved. That may have not been the case here, but that happens. Because the whole family takes this personal. And so Mary undoubtedly needs to be strengthened. And here the Holy Spirit uses Elizabeth to strengthen Mary with this statement, and blessed. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed is she that believed, for the things that you were told of the Lord, they are going to be fulfilled. And so there must have been such a refreshment, a cup of cold water for Mary when she hears these words of Elizabeth. But now let's turn away from Mary. Isn't that also a word for you? Blessed are you if you have believed. Blessed are you, young friend, boys and girls, if you have learned already in your childhood to trust in Jesus Christ. To trust in the living God. Maybe you also struggle with the impossibilities that Mary struggled with for a moment as she heard the angel saying these things. She said, but how will this happen? And so maybe you're struggling too, where you feel your sin and your brokenness, and you say, well, how can I be saved? And how can I be pardoned? And how can I be restored? And maybe you also have a struggle with that, as Mary might have had in a moment or two. How can this be? And yet, as the Spirit enables your heart to trust. And children, you don't have to be an adult to come to that. And the Spirit enables you to trust your soul, your life, your past, your today, your future, in the very hands of Jesus. Then you are blessed. And the Spirit enables you to bring your own brokenness and your own neediness and your own impossibilities into the hand of God. And beautiful, when in your young life you may do so. Blessed is she that believed. All things are possible with the God in whom you trust. As he can make everything out of nothing, and he can conceive a child in an old woman, and he can conceive a child in a completely impossible way. Mary, a virgin, unmarried, conceives a child. You see, with God all things is possible. And so he is able to pardon a guilty sinner who cannot pay anything to God. He can do that. And he can take a unworthy man who deserves nothing but hell and take them into heaven. What is impossible with us broken men is possible with this God of grace. What is impossible with us sinful people is possible with this God of love. He brought his son and he has promised, so whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whosoever, that means no matter what you like, no matter where you've been, whosoever. And then there shall be a performance. There shall be a fulfillment. God will do his part when we entrust our soul to him. Children of God, go tell others. What a rest that is when you know that God will do his part when you have entrusted yourself to him. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We cannot change our heart. We cannot undo the past. We cannot change the present. We can nothing Nothing we can do. Salvation is not in us. But if I'm able to trust it to God and I am able to lay it in Jesus' hand, what an unbelievable rich promise. He will finish. He will do. He will undo. He will take the impossible. He will make everything right. There will be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, if you follow Mary's story, you know, when all different than Mary ever expected. That's always how it is. We think this is how God is going to fulfill his promise. Count on it. It always goes different. Abram had that, Jacob had that, David had that, and Mary had that. And you will too. As you trust yourself to God, God will often lead us in a way we never expect. And he has his wise reasons for that. He has his good reasons for that. But let's cling to this word. If I am a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I am already blessed. And all the things I have entrusted unto God shall be fulfilled. That doesn't depend on Mary. That doesn't depend on your faith. That is dependent on Him in whom we trust. Amen. Let's pray together. Blessed Lord, what a beautiful portion here thou gave Elizabeth of all to speak, and full of instruction and meditation and comfort and direction for us also today. And blessed Lord, we bless thee for grace. We praise thee for the child thou hast brought into this world, the Savior, the Redeemer. And Lord, we mourn over the fact that so many in this world want nothing to do with him. But thou always will have a people that will love him, that will trust him, that will follow him, that are willing to take the stigma for being a Christ follower, as willing as Mary was to become the Christ mother. O blessed Lord, thou knowest also thy people among us today. Strengthen them also among our children and youth in these words of Mary, of Elizabeth. Blessed are they that believed. And Lord, we pray that thou would encourage us to wait on thee, even when the ways are contrary. Thy pathway often is through the sea. Thou leads in ways we could never anticipate, and we often see not the good of it until afterwards. But teach us, Lord, to wait. For thou hast promised, all those that wait, that trust thee, shall not be put to shame. And Lord, we have never any reason to doubt that thou wilt keep thy word as thou did and will do. So hear us and receive us graciously. Go with us again also on our way home, and bless the rest of this day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.